Now that the 2022 class is out the way, for now, we're going to talk about some 2023 prospects, how some of them would have stacked up in this previous class, and some guys that we're going to start diving into right here on Locked On NFL Draft. Let's go.
You are Locked On NFL Draft, your daily podcast covering the NFL Draft. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of the Locked On NFL Draft Show. I am your host, former NFL and AFL defensive back, Eric Crocker. And as you can see, that is not Ryan Tracy there. I got my guy, John Harris, with us. He joins us every Tuesday evening. You guys hear him Wednesday by the time you hear this show. But John Harris from, you know, covers the Houston Texans, got footballtakeover.com, all that good stuff, and takes his time out every once a week to come on live with us. But, man, exciting stuff. Starting to get into this class of 2023, and I think we got to start with the quarterbacks, right? Because, you know, obviously the quarterbacks are always the most popular player on the team, on most teams. And everyone, and we even heard it to the extent of people saying, man, it's a bad 2022 quarterback class. Don't draft those guys. Wait until 2023. I just looked at a mock draft, and they have 7 quarterbacks going first round. Do you think there's any chance in hell that happens?
Yo, Eric, I think there is. I think there is a chance. Now, I think the only thing that stands in the way of 7 quarterbacks going in the first round is, are there 7 teams that are going to need quarterbacks going into the first round? And this might be one of those years where NFL teams, I don't say there will be many of these, but this might be a year in 2023 where NFL teams create a need. Like, they look at their guy and go, you know what? You know that meme? There's that long-held meme where that guy is walking hand-in-hand with his girlfriend, and then there's a picture of him turning around and looking back at the other girl. That meme, that might be the 2023 draft, and that guy might be an NFL team that, you know, has a quarterback but looks back at one of these young guns and says, you know what? Maybe I like Will Levis. You know, maybe I like, Grayson McCall from out of Coastal Carolina. I think the – supply is going to be there for these NFL teams. It's just a matter of, is the demand going to be there for these NFL teams? And so I started thinking, man, okay, what teams might need quarterbacks? And started jotting them down and thinking, well, if Desmond Ridder doesn't pan out in Atlanta, I can't see them going long with Marcus Mariota. So the Falcons might be a team. You know, maybe the Dolphins, if Tua doesn't work out, man, are the Dolphins going to want to do something different at the quarterback position? And maybe they look for a veteran. But then that leaves maybe another team looking for a quarterback. So maybe it's us. Maybe Davis Mills doesn't pan out. I hope he does. Maybe we, the Houston Texans, could be looking for a quarterback. But I do think that the actual supply of quarterbacks is as good this draft if all of them declare, or if they declare, then we've had it a long time. And obviously Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud are going to get the lion's share of the attention, and as well they should. But Will
now,
Levis,
I said,
go ahead, Eric.
Well, I was going to say, I said that there were 7 quarterbacks that were taken in the first round of a mock. Now, listen, we're talking about way too early mock drafts, right? Like, right, that's what right. This is. So they say 7. We'll see. And some of these names on here, I don't quite know. All right. So it started out with Will Levis. All right. He was the first quarterback that they had taken. Yeah. There's also C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young, Devin Leary out of North Carolina State, Tyler Van Dyke out of Miami, Malik Cunningham out of Louisville, Anthony Richardson out of Florida. Those last few names, we'll see. And a couple of names that we didn't even mention, right? Slovis, yeah. Rattler. And those are both guys who have transferred from their previous teams. Slovis going from USC to Pittsburgh, I believe. Spencer Rattler transferring. So, you know, these are guys where I'm like, who is the guy? So I think we hear most of the time C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young. They've gotten a lot of the buzz. Do you think that maybe somebody like Will Levis out of Kentucky can maybe overtake those other two guys as the number one quarterback in this class?
I mean, when it comes to traits, Will Levis has got him. I mean, every trait you want, size, arm strength. Last year, he had really good command of Leon Cohen's offense. Now, Cohen is going to go back to the Rams, but they were running McVay's Los Angeles Rams offense, and Levis ran it pretty well. He had Wandale Robinson he threw to, and they ran that offense pretty well. Now, it's going to be a different offense this year, but Levis has got a little bit of that dual threat. I mean, he's really well put together, 6'4", 230, strong arm, came out of Penn State. And that's the one I kind of struggle with. Like, I mean, Sean Clifford's better than Will Levis. Like, I mean, I get loyalty and everything, but, you know, so I could see Will Levis being that in that category. You mentioned Tyler Van Dyke. You know, he's a name not a lot of people have paid attention to because he really didn't kind of get in the fold of Miami until De'Aaron King was not healthy enough to go. And so they handed the ball to this kind of lanky, skinny-looking, Matt Jones-looking guy, and you're like, whoa, this guy can sling it. This guy's making plays. I think Tyler Van Dyke is a guy to definitely watch. He's still a young guy, only going into his third year. And he's kind of like Anthony Richardson that way. Like, at least with Van Dyke, though, we've seen it. Richardson, I've seen a lot of struggles. Like, I see the tools. I saw him go 75 yards on USF, but, Eric, you and I could have gone 75 yards to the house on USF. And I'm 50. That was not a great defense. But you mentioned Devin Leary. You know, that's another guy that can get in this mix. There's so many guys that can kind of get in this mix and some that you didn't even mention. I really like Dorian Thompson-Robinson. Now, he's not a big guy, but from UCLA. Brennan Armstrong from Virginia. I'm telling you, that offense at Virginia is one of the most fun offenses I watched this year and all the different weapons that they have. And Armstrong's a lefty and just delivers the ball on time where it needs to be. More than adequate arm strength. Brennan Armstrong from Virginia is the guy that's going to get into this. Tyler Shuck, I saw last year up close from Texas Tech. He had transferred from Oregon, and there was a lot of hype about his size and his arm strength. The first ball he throws is a bubble screen that's right at me, like a little smoke screen right at me. And I'm like, yo, that thing's got sauce. He's got arm strength, but does he have all the other things that go with playing quarterback? That's really got to come through. What about Hendon Hooker from out of Tennessee? That guy's got a ton of ability. And he's got weapons. His wide receiver career, Cedric Tillman, I think, has a possibility of being a top five wide receiver. He's phenomenal. And that doesn't even mention Max Johnson, who transferred over to A&M from LSU. You know, Emory Jones has got one more year left at Arizona State. We'll see what he's got. DJ Uiagalelei, everybody thought was going to be the number two pick behind Bryce Young. What if he bounces back at Clemson? He's got all the tools, but, man, it was not good last year, so he's really got to prove it. And then you mentioned the Malik Cunninghams. And a few others. It's just
Jane Daniels who transferred from Arizona State to LSU. So they're definitely, from the standpoint of just talent, you know, there's plenty of quarterback talent in this class. Who will kind of shake out and be the guy? We'll see. Didn't even mention KJ Jefferson, quarterback at Arkansas, who has more of this kind of Dak Prescott trajectory, but he's kind of slated to be a little bit more of one of the better quarterbacks in all of the SEC. So,
yeah,
definitely a talented class. We'll see who ends up shaking out. Again, I think this past season people were thinking Sam Howell, Spencer Rattler, Keenan Slovis. Those guys are going to be first-round picks. A couple of those guys had to return back to college. So, definitely a terrific quarterback class. Can't wait to see who positions himself to maybe take some of these young guys. But coming up next, we're going to talk a little bit about a certain edge rusher that people are saying, man, this is the best player in the 2023 class, and can anybody rival him? But first, definitely want to talk to you a little bit about the good folks over at Built Bar. And Built Bar, I got a package in the mail, and they just came out with a new flavor, and it's the birthday cake, Built Bar Puff. Amazing. You know, my wife, she just came in here right now. She said, hey, that Built Bar Puff, that birthday cake flavor was really good. I'm like, I know, I got to order some more, right? Terrific, and only 150 calories, but get this. 16 grams of protein. And I mean, that is what it is like to eat a birthday cake from Built. It's terrific. It's good. It tastes good. Everyone in my family loves it. My kids love it. I actually had to hide them so they eat the rest of them. All right. And if you haven't tried the puffs already, you know, I'll let you know a little secret because, you know, that's what friends do. It's covered with all chocolate. All right. The whole protein bar. You heard me. It's delicious flavored marshmallow covered in 100% real chocolate. Make every day your birthday with Built Bar's new birthday cake, Built Bar Puff. All right. Built has the taste that makes it delicious. And it's an experience of biting into something that's like fresh. And it's almost like a slice of birthday cake. All right, with only 150 calories, like I said before, again, 16 grams of protein and only 9 grams of sugar. I think that was the more surprising part about this Built Bar Puff birthday cake, where as I'm eating it, I'm like, there's no way that this only has 9 grams of protein. So that's how good it is. And I get a lot of people on Twitter all the time, and they're like, well, Croc, I'm ordering them because you said, yes, order them. Because I'm telling you, they are that good. And you listeners right now, just for you, you can go to built.com and use promo code LOCK15 and get 15% off of your order. Again, use promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at built.com. We also want to thank you for making us Locked On NFL Draft your first listen of the day. You got a couple other shows you can listen to. Locked On 49ers with myself. Also, hey, go check out the Peacock and Williamson show. They're covering the NFL 5 days a week on any streaming platform that you listen to your podcast. All right, John. This might be the best player in this class. And I think he might have been the number one overall pick in the 2022 class if he came out. Will Anderson, we probably should get a little pushback for not leading this whole thing with this guy because he's that tremendous. He's a difference maker. He's special. When you talk about pass rusher, I feel like he's everything that you want. What are some of your thoughts on Will Anderson, and how do you view him in comparison to the guys that came out in the 2022 class?
To me, it was really, really clear. You know, I had a conversation with a couple of scouts, a couple of personnel people from the Texans, and back in training camp, early in training camp, they hadn't gone out on their site visits yet or going to campus where they, you know, usually go and watch, you know, what we used to call 2 days. I guess people, I don't know if people do 2 days anymore, but they were going to watch fall practice, and we got a conversation about where they were going, and one of them said he's going to Alabama. And I just remember looking at the other guy, and I was like, Will Anderson Jr. And they all just went, yeah, Will Anderson Jr. And that was with Evan Neal and all the players at Alabama. We're talking about a guy who played 1 year at that point in college football in a COVID year. We're talking about number 31, Will Anderson Jr. And we all just looked at each other like, yep, he's the truth. Eric, I can't tell you how many times I have had an Alabama game on. Like, I would study Kyer Elam from Florida, and I had the Florida-Alabama game. So I'm watching that game, and I would get to the Alabama defense, and I didn't have the heart to fast forward, so I would just watch. And I'm watching Will Anderson. I'm like, golly, here he is looping inside, going to make it a sack. Here he is taking on two blocks. Then I would watch the SEC championship game against Georgia, and he's not getting the quarterback on one play, jumping up, batting a pass down. Then in the next play, just rips, drops the inside shoulder, rips around the tackle, goes and gets pressure on Stetson Bennett. And it was every game that was like that. Every single game. It didn't matter whether he was taking on blocks. It didn't matter whether he was slipping a block. It didn't matter whether he was chasing from the backside, dropping into coverage. It was everything that you would have wanted. To me, thank God that Will Anderson Jr. was born 1 year later. Because to me, he was a slam dunk number one overall in that draft in 2022. To the Jacksonville Jaguars, and I would have had to have watched 31 twice a year on the other sideline. Now I hold out the slim hope that Davis Mills just absolutely crushes it, and somehow we lose a lot of close games, and we end up with the number one pick, because that's where I think we could end up getting a Will Anderson at that point. My gut tells me that if we did end up with that pick and Davis Mills shows that he is that guy, that Nick Caserio would end up trading down. Somebody would want to go up to number one to go get a quarterback at that point. So I don't think Will Anderson Jr. should be in my sights, but I do think he's the best player in this draft, quarterbacks included. And so when my summer Harris 100 comes out, Will Anderson Jr. will be at the top. It's one of the easier things that I've done. Over the years, it was the same thing with Quentin Nelson. Like, I knew Quentin Nelson, like, right away. It wasn't even going to really be close that it was going to be Quentin Nelson. I did a little bit back and forth on Kyle Hamilton this year, but I settled in on him. I thought, yeah, he's the guy. But Quentin Nelson was a slam dunk for me. I think Will Anderson Jr. is a slam dunk. Yeah, he got all these quarterbacks, and they're all going to be drafted high, and a lot of them might be drafted higher than Will Anderson Jr., and that's fine. That guy's the best football player in this draft. He's the best NFL prospect, and he just has to stay healthy coming into the NFL.
I like it. Very explosive player. Now, what other defensive linemen should people – be on the lookout for? Because, you know, there's, you know, Jalen Carter, defensive linemen, out of Georgia. There's going to be a plethora of other ones. So let us know some of the names that you think people should be keeping an eye out on.
Yeah, Miles Murphy from out of Clemson. I think the first couple of years that he's played in college football, he's been outstanding. Out on the edge, playing for Clemson. He's actually probably fits our defense of 4-3 a little bit better. He's about 270, 275. So he's a little thicker. He can play as a base end. And he could bounce inside if you need him to. But I think he could stay out wide the entire time. Brian Brisset, his teammate from Clemson on the inside, is coming off a torn ACL. Now, we've seen players come back from torn ACLs. You know, Jameson Williams is doing that right now. I just saw John Metchie walking on the hallway today. He's trying to come back from ACL. We've seen guys have success coming back from ACL, so hopefully Brisset is able to do that because he is an explosive dude on the inside, along with, you mentioned, Jalen Carter from out of Georgia. Georgia's got another one on the outside. Depending on how you see him, more than likely a 3-4 outside linebacker, but Nolan Smith, number 4. You would watch that Georgia defense, and you would see all these guys on that defense, you're like, boy, 44 is impressive. Yeah, he was number 1 overall. 99 is going to be a first-rounder. Boy, 17 linebacker is really, really good. But, man, number 4, that joker makes plays. That guy right there makes all kinds of plays, dropping coverage, come on the rush, loop inside on blitzes and stunts. Nolan Smith, outside linebacker for Georgia, going into his fourth year, I was really surprised he went back. Really surprised. But I think it'll give Georgia some inside-outside with Jalen Carter, but also Nolan Smith. I'm going to give you another one. I don't know if I can say this name correctly. And I'm going to feel bad for saying it because he's from Italy. And he came to the United States when I think he was a junior or senior in high school. And he ended up playing, I think it was down in Florida. Yeah, Clearwater Academy, tiny, tiny little school in Florida. Defensive end product named Habakkuk Baldonado from Pitt, number 87. And you look at him and watch him and, I don't know, sometimes you just kind of internalize, okay, this guy hasn't played a lot of football. So you look at him and you immediately think, okay, he's a little bit raw. There's still kind of a rawness to his game. And then you watch him, you're like, whoa, okay, I like that rawness. And not a lot of people are talking about him. Habakkuk Baldonado, I hope I said that first name right. But he is a player on the outside. He came, his senior year, his only year in Florida in high school, he had like 30 sacks. And he didn't even know what he was doing. They just like, go get that guy. Okay. It was almost like Bobby Boucher and the water boy. He just kept going and sacking the quarterback 30 times. And Pitt went and got him. And he's been a major player for Pitt. Learning the game, they redshirted him. He's kind of learned the game as he's gone along. I still think he's got some great football ahead of him. But from Pitt, Habakkuk Baldonado, and if I said that right, I think I got the Baldonado part. The Habakkuk, I don't know if I got that right. But that guy can absolutely play. Long-arm dude from Pitt. Keep an eye on number 87.
Awesome. And we're going to talk about a few more guys. Some guys that have kind of transferred to different schools. There's been a whole lot of that going on with the whole new NIL and all that. Guys are kind of moving around. Some really good prospects changing teams. We're going to talk about those guys and more. But first, we want to talk to you a little bit about our partners over at BetOnline and how, you know, yeah, it's the number one source for all of your betting needs and sports information. Find all the latest odds, news, and sports development, including this year's basketball playoffs, Major League Baseball scores, fights, and even next season's NFL futures. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering information and live betting, from the playoffs to esports and much, much more. By the way, esports, really big thing. I'm starting to find out how competitive that whole thing is. But head over right now to the website today and use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and the action going on right now at BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, John. Let's talk about some of these guys who have transferred schools. All right, first, just a couple guys, and then we'll get into some other prospects who just really kind of stand out. But one, you got Elias Ricks, cornerback, transferred from LSU. He's a big-time prospect coming out of California. But he goes from LSU to Alabama, and we'll see how that helps his stock. A lot of guys kind of left after the coaching change and whatnot. Jordan Addison, I think this is still kind of up in the air, but most people are assuming he's going to go to USC. This is a receiver from Pittsburgh, just won the Biletnikoff Award. All right, very dynamic, explosive receiver. If he's the first receiver taken off the board, wouldn't be surprised at all. But I know, you know, Jackson Smith and Jigba out of Ohio State, that's another guy where he's like, hey, Croc, hold on, I got a little bit to say about that. But Addison and also Jahmyr Gibbs, running back who was at Georgia Tech. And as a true freshman, I mean, these were people that were saying, oh, man, this is kind of like the next Reggie Bush, like this dynamic pass-catching running back. Now, listen, maybe I just feel because I grew up kind of in that same era as Reggie Bush. And I was like, oh, no, Reggie Bush is like the best college football player I've ever seen in my life. But Gibbs, he has some special ability. I think that was like amazing to see him go from Georgia Tech to Alabama. And I think he's really kind of bumped himself up to potentially be, you know, a legit first or early second round pick. You know how running backs go. But out of not just those guys, what other guys kind of stand out to you as guys that people should be watching for that are potential first round picks?
The Gibbs one is the one that got me. When I saw that he transferred to Alabama, I thought, Jimmy Christmas. The last year, they got Jameson Williams. And you think, okay, he's the number three receiver at Ohio State. He's going to Alabama. What really is – well, he turned into the 12th pick in the overall in the draft. So that transfer thing worked out really, really well. You know, one guy that didn't transfer, you know, this year but did transfer last year, maybe think of it because it was Alabama, is Henry Toto, who was at Tennessee for a couple of years. Yeah. Then he transferred to Alabama. And so, again, those same scouts I was talking to, when they got back from Alabama, they were like, look, Henry's already running our defense. Like the first weekend, they were telling me, yeah, Toa Toa is already running that Alabama defense. Now, he should know it because that was the same defense that Jeremy Pruitt ran at Tennessee. So I think, you know, Toa Toa might be a guy that, you know, depending on the kind of year he has, you know, Christian Harris had a good year next to him, and obviously he's in Houston, so I'm really excited about that as a third rounder. The quarterbacks we talked about earlier, but they're like 15 or 16 of them. They were just swapping teams left and right. It's crazy to think about. Some of these guys are now on their third team. JT Daniels is now on his third team coming out of modern day. The guy you mentioned, though, speaking of modern day, was Eli Ricks. I saw him in modern day when he was a junior. And I'm watching him, and it just pops up on YouTube, you know, modern day against a certain team. And I'm like, you know, from afar, modern day, number one in the country. I always like watching highlights of Bryce Young. And so I would go watch these highlights, and I'm like, yo, 12 is a dude. Who is this? And they just say Ricks on the back of his jersey. So I tracked it down, Eli Ricks. Like, okay, make a note. Keep an eye on that guy. He's like, wow. So then he transfers to the IMG for his senior year down in Orlando, which I thought was kind of odd. Like, why would he go to IMG? He's at modern day. I mean, that's a football powerhouse. Like, why leave? So I kind of lost track of him for a little bit. Then he ends up at LSU. Like, oh yeah.
Do you know why? Do you know why he left?
I never found out. Maybe there was something there.
From my understanding, modern day doesn't let guys be mid-year transfers.
Ah.
So it's like, oh, let me go to IMG. So then after that fall semester and you graduate, then you can head and you can be a mid-year transfer to a university.
And it makes sense. And look, IMG, I mean, you go down there, you might as well be in a college program. So you get the college experience while you're still in high school, if that makes any sense. So anyways, he ends up at LSU, and I'm like, whoa, he's opposite Stingley. So I love Stingley, and obviously he's a Texan now, so I love him even more. And so I would see Ricks, like, whoa, Ricks and Stingley. And then he transfers to Alabama. I thought, golly, Nick Saban, he's got it going on, because the two transfers in Gibbs and Ricks, I think both of them very well could end up being first-round picks. I don't think, to me, there's any question in my mind about Ricks. Now, Gibbs, to your point, it all depends on how do you perceive him. Is he a running back? Is he a wide receiver? How are teams going to use him? All that kind of stuff. But I think a guy like Deebo Samuel does nothing but make Jahmyr Gibbs that much more attractive, because I think Gibbs can play all the different positions that you want. And I think Gibbs has some really good running back acumen that if you want to use him there, man, feel free. I'll give you, from a transfer perspective, one school to really watch is Ole Miss. Because Ole Miss, I mean, Lane Kiffin was just like, come on down to Ole Miss. Zach Evans, running back, who I saw here at North Shore High School, he's like the best high school running back, one of the best ones I've ever seen. They just locked in Jalen Robinson, wide receiver who plays in the slot. And I don't think Robinson's going to end up being a first rounder, but that dude is dynamic. I mean, he is Wandale Robinson plus. I think he's a better receiver than Wandale is, and I think he's a shade faster. He's on his third school because he went to Oklahoma, then UCF, and now he's at Ole Miss. So Ole Miss has been just taking in a bunch of transfers, as many of them as they can get in, it seems. And I think that's going to make them very attractive, not to mention I think Jackson Dart ended up there from USC. I think he transferred to Ole Miss. So from a transfer perspective, Ole Miss has got a bunch of them. I mean, you look at their roster, it's going to be previous school. Oh, UCF, USC. It's going to have all these previous schools on their roster. And I think Lane Kiffin's going to end up building some sort of juggernaut with this team because that offense, man, they have got a ton of weapons led by Zach Evans, who I think is maybe the most underrated running back right now. Now, he's a little mercurial. He had some issues kind of, you know, figuring out where he was going to go to school and do all that. Then he went to TCU, and for 2 years it was awesome. But just did it at TCU, so nobody's really paying attention, decided he wanted to transfer. He ends up at Ole Miss. And I think in that offense, with his skills, he's got an opportunity to put up 1,500 yards if he stays healthy. He could be a stud in that offense. Zach Evans from out of North Shore, which is about 45 minutes from where I am right now.
One other guy, and the last guy we'll kind of talk about today, and we're talking about some transfers now. But Jermaine Burton transferred from Georgia to Alabama, and I think that's going to be a big win for Alabama. We're talking about a guy who, you know, you look at his numbers at Georgia, and it doesn't match the ability that he has. Yeah. I mean, he has in the 2 years, 2020, as a true freshman, caught 27 passes, 400 yards, 3 touchdowns. In 2021, 26 receptions, 497 yards, 5 touchdowns. I mean, but the ability is much higher than that. So he won his national title and said, all right, Georgia, thank you. But I see where this offense is going. Yep. I don't think the quarterback situation is going to be much better. They're always going to lean kind of heavy on that running game. Let me go and play for, you know, a team that had a guy like Williams, who people were like, oh, he was an afterthought at Ohio State. Yep. And he goes and he's one of the better receivers, ends up being the top 12 pick. So I like the move for Jermaine Burton. I think he's going to have a big year catching passes from Bryce Young.
Yeah, and I think that's a big factor in it. And I think it also could play a role a little bit. I heard somebody talking about this the other night about Jordan Addison and where he ends up. The thing is, the schools that Jordan Addison is thinking about playing, if he stays at Pitt, he plays with Keaton Slovis. I mean, Slovis is a solid player. If he goes to USC, he plays with Caleb Williams. Now, Williams is known a little bit more for his running ability, but he can sling it as well. And then University of Texas, Quinn Ewers just took over. He's kind of a lot like Jackson Dart was. I mean, he's going to be a guy that wants to run it probably first before he can throw it, but he can sling it deep. So that really can bring out Jordan Addison's deep threat. So that's going to play a role, you know, for some of these guys. For Jermaine Burton, just the fact that, yeah, he plays with Bryce Young, and there's no Mechie, there's no Jameson Williams. Some of the younger receivers really didn't pan out last year. So Jermaine Burton kind of steps in and becomes really, I think, receiver one for Alabama. And with Bryce Young and the way that he wants to sling it, yeah, he's got Cameron Olatu, a tight end who I love. But now he's got Jermaine Burton. That's going to be his go-to guy. Burton puts up 80 catches, 1,400 yards, something like that. As wide receiver one in Alabama, man, he's got an opportunity to absolutely be in the top 32, no doubt.
Awesome, man. A lot of good stuff to look forward to in the next class. And we're not done, man. We're going to dive in to who these guys are, specifically their strengths, their weaknesses, all that good stuff, so you're more prepared for the 2023 draft. But that's going to do it for this episode of Locked On NFL Draft. Of course, I want to thank you for making us your first listen of the day. But from Eric Crocker, from Jonathan Harris, we're out, and we'll see y'all tomorrow. Peace.